إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية The creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last time we had the points 214 to 219. So then, who can tell me from those points, what is al-ghulu? What is al-ghulu? Al-ghulu, that which is prohibited at the one extreme, extremism, going beyond the limits, going beyond the due limits. Who can then remember at the opposite extreme, at-taqsir, that this deen is between al-ghulu on the one extreme and at-taqsir. What is at-taqsir? Taqsir, falling short, laxity, falling short of the mark, falling short of what is required. This deen is between those two extremes, in the middle, between those two extremes. Who can then remember an evidence from the evidences which we had, showing the forbiddance of al-ghulu? Who can remember an evidence proving that al-ghulu is forbidden? Jazakallahu khairan. The ayah that the brother mentioned, the one person who was answering, Jazakallahu khairan, the ayah. Ya ahlal kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum. We had a number of ayahs, we had a number of evidences from them. Ya, the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 77. Ya ahlal kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum, ghayr al-haq. O people of the book, do not have ghulu, do not go beyond the bounds with regard to the religion with other than the truth. Likewise, we had the evidence, and it's important that we remember these evidences, because as we heard, the deen is between those two extremes, one of the extremes being al-ghulu, so it's important we know evidence for it being forbidden. The second evidence being the hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halaka al-mutanatti'oon, that those who go to extremes are destroyed. A hadith reported by Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it three times. We also had a hadith regarding four men. One man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they came and they asked about the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they heard how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped, then they regarded it to be something slight. But they said, but his sins, his earlier and his later sins are forgiven. But as for us, then we need to do more. In other words, that's what they were meaning, was that they need to do more. So one of them said, as for myself, I will fast and not refrain from fasting. Another one said, I will pray during the night and I will not sleep. Another one said, I will not eat meat. And another one said, I will keep away from the women. Who out of these four, or which one of these four, did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam approve of? Which one out of the four did he approve of? Yeah, none of the four. I mean, all of these, he disapproved of all of these. And who can remember what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the end of the hadith? What did he say at the end in that regard? meaning that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I am the one out of you who has the most taqwa, I am the one out of you who has the most fear of Allah, to the end of the hadith. However, I fast and I refrain from fasting. I pray and I sleep. I marry the women. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. Why did Shaykh al-Fawzan say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this? Even though they're all mentioning worship, all that they were mentioning was that they're going to do acts of worship, or certainly the one who said, I'll pray and not refrain from praying, I'll fast and not refrain from fasting, then these are matters of worship. Why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say what he said? And mention turning away, whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he's not from me. Because these are ghulu, examples of ghulu, and tashdeed, making things excessiveness, putting things upon one's self, which Allah did not put upon us in the religion. So these are examples of excessiveness, which Allah did not command. Who can then remember that we had that this deen is between one extreme and another extreme in a number of matters? From these, there was mentioned ta'atil. Ta'atil, that the deen is between ta'atil and tashbih. Who can remember what is ta'atil?
Those who negate Allah's names and attributes.
Yeah. Those negation of Allah's attributes, stripping Allah of his attributes. Who can remember at the opposite extreme? Very brief, we don't want to. Very long explanation, but just briefly, what is at-tashbih? At-tashbih. Basically declaring resemblance between the creation and the creator. Declaring that Allah, there is a resemblance between the creation and the creator. Who can remember the correct belief with regard to these two matters, ta'atil and tashbih, along with the evidence? What do we hold? What do the people of the sunnah hold with regard to these two things, ta'atil, denying attributes, and tashbih, likening the creator to the creation, along with the evidence, though? As the brother mentioned, then very briefly, then we do not hold either of those, but rather we affirm for Allah whatever attributes he affirmed for himself, or whatever attributes his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed for him. Then we affirm those attributes, affirming them without any tashbih, without declaring that Allah in his attributes or in anything resembles his creation. And the evidence being the ayah that the brother mentioned from Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Who can mention what was the saying of the Jabariyyah? Very briefly, what was the saying of the Jabariyyah? Or the main point of the deviant sect, the Jabariyyah? That the person is compelled upon his actions. The person has no free will, no choice upon the actions that he does. He is compelled to do his actions, his prayers and his fasting and whatever he does. He just does it like a machine, an automatic machine that's controlled, as they say, they're controlled by pre-decree. This is the saying of the Jabariyyah. Who can remember the saying of the other deviant sect at the other extreme? The saying of the Qadariyyah. Who can remember the saying of the Qadariyyah? No, and the Qadariyya, they say in that regard that the person has independent free will. He's independent in his free will. He creates his own actions, does what he wishes, independently, creates his own actions. The Qadariyya being the deniers of the pre-decree. And who can remember the saying in this regard of the Ahlul Sunnah, the true saying, regard to the actions of the people? What's the saying of the people of the Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah, with regard to the actions of the people? That the people of the Sunnah, they no doubt, they affirm that the servant has limited free will. He has free will, but that free will falls under Allah's will. And with regard to the actions, that Allah creates the actions, but it is the servants who choose them with their free will. They choose the deeds that they want to do, and they do their deeds, and therefore they're accountable for them. So they're not totally independent, and they do not create their own deeds, rather Allah creates their deeds. And on the other hand, they are not forced and compelled upon their deeds. Who can remember the position of the people of the Sunnah with regard to fear and hope, and feeling secure and despairing? What's the correct position with regard to that? The position of the people of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As the brother mentioned, Jazakallahu khairan, that the people of the Sunnah are balanced in that regard, as in all of the other affairs, that they have hope in Allah's reward, they have hope in Allah, along with the fact that they have fear of Allah's punishment. So they have fear and hope. And they do not feel secure from Allah's plan, and at the other extreme, but they do not despair. They don't totally despair of their condition and despair of Allah's mercy. No. They are between that. Contrary to the position, as the brother said, of the Murji'ah on one extreme and the Khawarij at the other extreme. Who can remember that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, Hafidhullah, he mentioned two things as being the means to acquire, or the means to gain Allah's mercy. Who can remember the two things that were mentioned as the means to acquire Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy? No, sahad. No. Then, no doubt, repenting, tawbah, and submitting one's face purely to Allah. Jazakallahu khairan. No. With regard to major sins, al-kaba'ir, and the person guilty of major sins, who can remember the saying of the Khawarij, the deviant saying of the Khawarij, with regard to the person, the Muslim, guilty of major sins?
They say that he's in the hellfire and he's a disbeliever.
Yeah. They basically say that he, in this world, is an unbeliever, he's a kafir, and in the hereafter, he's forever in the hellfire. Who can remember the saying, briefly, of the Murji'ah, with regard to the person guilty of major sins? The Murji'ah. Hey, that's the Khawarij. Yeah, as for the Murji'ah, and the Murji'ah say that with regard to sins, that Iman is something fixed. If you have it, that's it. And that sins do not affect Iman. Sins don't affect Iman. And the position of the people of the Sunnah, as for the position of the people of the Sunnah in that regard with regard to the person guilty of major sins.
As long as sin is less than shirk, then it's forgiven.
Yeah.
Based on the ayah, in the Allah, I can't remember the rest of it, but based on that ayah.
Basically, with regard to the position of the people of the Sunnah, very, very briefly, with regard to the person guilty of major sins, who dies upon the major sin, then, in this world, before he dies, they do not count him as an unbeliever, rather he is a believer, who is deficient in iman. That sin causes his iman to be reduced. As long as the sin is less than shirk. If the sin is shirk, then that is something else. What we're talking here with regard to sins lesser than shirk, not something that major shirk, which takes a person out of Islam. So major sins, which are not shirk, then they reduce the person's iman, and in the hereafter, that he will be taht al-mashi'ah, beneath Allah's wish and will. If Allah wishes, he will punish him in the fire, in accordance with the level of his sin, to purify him from that sin, and then eventually enter him into paradise, or if Allah wishes, he'll pardon him and forgive him. Then, to continue with the last part of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, then Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with what's numbered here as point 220. وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْ يُثَبِّتَنَا عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَيَخْتِمْ لَنَا بِهِ. Ameen. And we ask Allah the Most High to make us firm upon Iman, true faith, and to conclude our lives with it. Ameen. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, this is correct manners towards Allah. That having explained the Aqidah, the creed and belief, of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, he then asked Allah to make him firm upon it. So it is not enough that a person knows the Aqidah. It's not enough that the person knows or is acquainted, is aware of the Aqidah, the correct creed and belief. I mean, just knowing it, just being aware of it, is not sufficient. He said, because a person of knowledge may slip and err. So a person should not be fooled by his own knowledge. And he should not feel safe and secure from fitan, from trials and tribulations. So does his knowledge equal the knowledge of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam? And he made supplication to Allah saying, Wajnubni wabaniya an na'bud al asnam. Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayahs 35 and 36. With the explanation that Ibrahim alayhi salam called upon Allah with the supplication saying, and keep me and my children far away from worshipping the idols. O my Lord, they have certainly led many people astray. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so a person should ask Allah for as-salama wal-afiyah. The person should ask Allah for safety and security from evil. Since how many people with knowledge have slipped and deviated away from the religion? How many and how many? فَالْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. So deeds are in accordance with their conclusions. Then Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah continued with his supplication, وَيَعْصِمَنَا مِنَ الْأَهْوَاءِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ وَالْآرَاءِ الْمُتَفَرِّقَةِ Ameen. Continuing with his supplication, asking Allah, and that He keeps us safe from the variant heretic ideas and the opinions which cause separation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, the people have not been led astray except by al-ahwa. The people have not been led astray except through desires, al-ahwa. Then he gives as evidence for that two ayahs. The first, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th surah, ayah 50, with the explanation, and who is more astray than the one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah? Then he mentions the second ayah, which he quotes as evidence. He said, and he, the one free of all imperfection, said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ Surah Al-Jathiyah, the 45th surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, Do you see the one who takes as an object of worship that which he desires, and Allah misguided him upon knowledge that he would not follow the guidance? As usual, the explanation being taken from the tafsir of At-Tabari. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So a person should ask Allah to keep him safe from desires, al-hawa, and that he guides him to the truth, even if it is contrary to his desires. Even if the truth, the haqq, is contrary to his desires. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said with regard to the Jews, أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَحْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 87, with the explanation, Is it that whenever a messenger comes to you with that which your souls do not desire, then you haughtily reject it. And some of the messengers, you deny, and others you kill. The Shaykh said, So al-hawa, desires, is something very dangerous. Then he continued, wal-madhahib ar-radiyya, and the corrupt sects. Continuing with what he asks Allah to keep us safe from, he said, وَالْمَذَاهِبِ الرَّدِيَّةِ And the corrupt sects. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, They are the sects, the firaq, they are the sects, which he, alayhi salatu wassalam, informed about with his saying, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةُ عَلَىٰ 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ The Hadith. They are the sects which he, alayhi salatu wasalam, informed about with his saying, This ummah, this nation, will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire. The Hadith. I mean, the Hadith continues after that. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Ahmad and Al-Hakim, and he declared it sahih, authentic. And it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, the hadith is hasan, sahih, good, authentic. And as for the part of the hadith with the continuation, kulluha fin nar, All of them will be in the fire. Illa wahida, wa hiya al-jama'ah. All of them will be in the hellfire, except for one, and it is al-jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. Then this wording and this continuation, all of them in the fire, it is contained in a hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, reported by Ibn Majah, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, continuing with the text, with the explanation of the text, he said, commenting upon this part of the hadith, this ummah will divide into 73 sects, all of them in the fire. He said, because they departed from the truth, except for those who proceeded upon the like of what Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his companions proceeded upon. For they are the ones who are saved from the fire. And therefore they are called al-firqatun najiyah, the saved sect. And he said, and al-madhahib here, the word that occurs in the text, al-madhahib, the positions or the madhabs, here it means opinions, al-ara, the opinions. I mean the corrupt opinions. Just as a small side note, then Sheikh Muhammad ibn Mani' rahimahullah, in his brief notes, he explains what is meant by al-madhahib ar-radiyya, the corrupt sects. He said, it is kullu madhab khalafa ma alayhi ahlus sunnah. He said, kullu madhab khalafa ma alayhi ahlus sunnah madhabun radiyun batil. He said, every madhab, every position which contradicts what the people of the sunnah are upon, then it is a corrupt position and is false and futile. Then At-Tahawi rahimahullah, Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah, continued by giving examples of these corrupt sects. He said, Mithla al-mushabbiha, like the mushabbiha. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they are those who liken the attributes of Allah to the attributes of the created beings. The mushabbiha, they are those who liken the attributes of Allah to the attributes of the created beings. Then Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah continued, wal mu'tazila, giving another example, wal mu'tazila, and the mu'tazila. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they are those who negate the attributes of Allah and deny them, using the excuse that they are declaring Allah free of imperfections. So they did ghulu. They went beyond the due limits in at-tanzih, in declaring Allah free of imperfections. They did not just declare Allah free of imperfections, they went beyond the limits in that to even denying his attributes with that excuse. So he said, so they went beyond the due limits in declaring him free of imperfections. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explained who they are. Who are the Mu'tazila? He said, and they were the followers of Wasil ibn Ata and Amr ibn Ubaid. These two heads, original heads of the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila are their followers, these two people, Wasil ibn Ata and Amr ibn Ubaid. And these two people were from the students of Al-Hasan al-Basri, the famous Tabi'i. And they used to attend his circle. And then Al-Hasan al-Basri was asked a question about the person guilty of major sin. So he responded with that which conforms to the book and the sunnah, and he said, huwa tahtul mashi'ah. Al-Hasan al-Basri, when he was asked about a person committing major sin, meaning in other words one who dies upon that without repenting, so Al-Hasan al-Basri, the great one of the Imams of the Tabi'een, said, he is beneath al-Mashi'a. He is beneath Allah's wish and will. And he does not become an unbeliever because of his major sin. And he is deficient in Iman. The Shaykh said, so that was the answer given by Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. The Shaykh said, so then Wasil criticized him and said to him, huwa fi manzilatin bayna al-manzilatayn, laysa bikafirin wala muslim. So when Wasil heard this answer, he criticized him, and he himself said, Wasil said, contradicting, he said, he is in a position, I mean the person who dies upon major sin from this ummah, he said, he is in a position between the two positions. He is not a kafir, he is not an unbeliever, and he is not a Muslim. It's in between. So the Shaykh said, so he invented this false and futile position. And he did i'tazala, meaning he moved away, separated himself away from the gathering of Al-Hasan. In other words, this is where their name came from. So he no longer sat in the circle of Al-Hasan al-Basri. He moved away, i'tazala, he moved aside, moved away from that, put himself aside and away from that. And people of his own type gathered around him. So they formed a group which came to be called Al-Mu'tazila, the Mu'tazila. Then Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with another example. He said, Wal-Jahmiyyati wal-Jabariyya. And the Jahmiyyah and the Jabariyya. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, They are the followers of Al-Jahm ibn Safwan at Tirmidhi. And in a footnote, they give a small biography of this leading deviant, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. The Jahmiyyah being followers of Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, who is from the area of Tirmidh, or is mentioned as at Tirmidhi, meaning from the town of at Tirmidh. In a footnote, they mention he was Abu Mihraz al-Rasibi, the foundation of Dalala, the foundation of misguidance, and the head of the Jahmiyyah. He was a person of cleverness and argumentation, and he used to deny the attributes and declare the Creator free and far removed, he claimed. His excuse for declaring Allah free of attributes was that he's declaring him free of imperfections. That's his excuse that he gave. And he used to say that the Quran is created and that Allah is in all places. And he used to say that Iman is just belief in the heart, even if the person speaks with kufr, with unbelief. Even if a person on his tongue, he says words of unbelief, but if he has Iman, if he's got belief in his heart, then he's a believer in the saying of Jahm. And they refer you to Sir A'lam an-Nubala of Imam al-Dhahabi. Then they continue, or rather Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, he said, so they, the Jahmiyyah, are the followers of al-Jahm ibn Safwan at Tirmidhi, whose biography we just heard. And he adopted the position of his sheikh, his teacher, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. And where did Al-Jahm get this evil from? From his teacher, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. Then again, in the footnotes, they give a brief biography of this deviant, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. So they mention in the footnote, he, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, the teacher of Jahm, he was the tutor of Marwan al-Himar. And he was the first one who innovated the saying that Allah did not take Ibrahim as a Khalil, as an especially beloved one, and that Allah did not speak to Musa. Concerning him, Al-Mada'ini said he was a zindiq, an evil heretic. And Wahab used to say to him, I think that you are from the Halikeen. I think that you are from the people who are destroyed. And if Allah had not informed us that He has a hand, if Allah had not informed us that He has a hand and that He has an eye, we would not have said that. I mean, we say that because Allah Himself has said that, so we say it. This is the saying of Wahab in refutation of Al-Ja'ad. Then they say, and then he did not remain for long until he was crucified. I mean, Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, the teacher of Jaham, he didn't remain long before he was crucified. And then Sheikh Al-Fawzan continues this chain of narration, this evil chain of narration. So Jaham learnt from his teacher Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. He said, and he took this evil saying of his from Talut, the Jew. From Talut, the Jew. Who himself took it from, so the chain of narration of evil continues, who himself took it from Labid ibn al-A'sam, the person who did magic, sihr, upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the chain of narration of the position of the Jahmiyya. Starting with Labid ibn al-A'sam, the Jew who did sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then from him learned his student, Talut, the Jew. And from him learned Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. And from him learned his student, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. So this is where the position of the Jahmiyyah comes from. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this madhab, this position, is the saying that the Qur'an is created. And also from their sayings is Al-Jabr, fatalism. I mean, the saying of the Jabariyya. That was one of the sayings of Jaham as well. The saying that a person is compelled upon his deeds. This is also from the saying of the Jahmiyyah. And that the person is compelled upon his deeds. And other than this, they had other evil sayings as well. So therefore they were ascribed to Al-Jaham and called the Jahmiyyah. So Al-Jahm, he took it from Al-Ja'ad, who lived at the end of the state of Banu Umayyah. And he was killed by Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qasari. Min Ja'ad ibn Dirham, he was killed by Khalid, by this governor, Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qasari. Then he mentions how this happened. He said, Khalid was giving the khutbah for the day of Eid al-Adha. And he said, Dahu ayyuhan nas, taqabbal Allahu dahayakum, fa inni mudahhim bil Ja'ad ibn Dirham, fa innahu yaz'am anna Allah lam yukallim Musa taklima, wa lam yattakhidh Ibrahim khalila. That Al-Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qasri, he gave the khutbah for the day of Eid al-Adha. And then at the end of his khutbah, he said, O people, perform the sacrifice of Adha. May Allah accept your sacrifices. And I am going to sacrifice Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. Because he claims that Allah did not speak to Musa directly. And did not take Ibrahim as a Khalil, an especially beloved one. And then he descended from the minbar and slaughtered him, because he was a zindiq, an evil heretic. So killing him was obligatory. And the people, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, were thankful for that. And that is why Ibn al-Qayyim said in his Nuniyah, in his poem An Nuniyah, which every line ends with a noon, he said, وَلِي أَجْلِ ذَا ضَحَّى بِجَعْدٍ خَالِدُ الْقَصْرِيُّ يَوْمَ ذَبَائِحِ الْقُرْبَانِ لَقَدْ شَكْرَ الدَّحِيَّةَ كُلُّ صَاحِبِ سُنَّةٍ لِلَّهِ دُرُّكَ مِنْ أَخِي قُرْبَانِ. This part of the Nuniyah of Ibn al-Qayyim that he said in it with regard to this incident. And because of that, I mean because of what Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham was saying, denying Allah's attributes and the like, He said, and because of that, Khalid al-Qasri slaughtered Ja'ad on the day when the people made their sacrifices. Every person of Sunnah gave thanks for that sacrifice. To Allah is ascribed the good which you did from a brother who is special and close. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, but he left, or rather he said, I mean that was the end of al-Ja'ad in this world. Then he said, but Jahm took over from him. Al-Ja'ad was killed, but then al-Jahm took over from him. So the position was ascribed to him. I mean the one who was upon it before was al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, but it became famous with his student who took it over from him, al-Jahm. So it's called the position of the Jahmiyyah. Then the Shaykh said, because he is the one who made it apparent. So he combined al-Jabr, fatalism, and at-Tajahum, the saying of the Jahmiyyah. And therefore, the poet said, and he quotes another line of poetry, عَجِبْتُ لِشَيْطَانٍ دَعَ النَّاسَ جَهْرَةً إِلَى النَّارِ وَاشْتُقَّ اسْمُهُ مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ. He said, this is why the poet said, with regard to Jahm, I am amazed at a devil who called the people openly to the hellfire and whose name is extracted from Jahannam, from the hellfire. I mean Jahm. That Jahm called the people to these open, called the people openly to the hellfire, to disbelieving in Allah's attributes, and so on. And his name Jahm, if you take the noon out of Jahannam, the hellfire, you end up with Jahm, his name. So he said, I'm surprised that he's a devil calling the people to this, calling the people to the fire, and it's so clear, his name is there. You take the noon out of Jahannam, and you've got his name, Jahm. Then Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, continued, giving another example, وَالْقَدَرِيَّةِ and the Qadariyyah, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, such as the deniers of Al-Qadr, the pre-decree. And they were the Mu'tazila. They say that the actions of the servants are created by them, and they do not enter within the creation of Allah, nor within His will. This is what they say, the Mu'tazila. They say people's actions are created by the people themselves, and they do not enter into that which Allah has created. They're not a part of Allah's creation, and they do not enter within Allah's will, irada. So therefore they are called, the Shaykh said, so therefore they are called the Majus, the Magians of this Ummah, because the Magians, the Majus, affirmed two creators, a creator for good and a creator for evil. And as for the Qadariyyah, the deniers of pre-decree, then they affirm multiple creators along with Allah. In other words, from their saying that man, each person is the creator of his own actions. So as many people as there are as many creators as there are people. So the Magians, they only affirm two creators, a creator of good and a creator of evil. But these, the Qadariyyah, they affirm there are as many creators as there are people, because every person, in their saying, creates his own deeds. And in a footnote, they mention the hadith that we had before, the hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-qadariyatu majus hadhihi al-ummah. The qadariyah are the Magians of this ummah. And as we had before, the hadith reported by Abu Dawood from a hadith of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, and declared Hassan, good, by Shaykh al-Albani. Then as for the next point, then Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَغَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الَّذِينَ خَالَفُوا السُّنَّةَ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَحَالَفُوا الضَّلَالَةِ وَحَالَفُوا الضَّلَالَةِ. He said, and others, he's not restricted to these ones, these are examples, but there are others as well. He said, and others from those who go against the sunnah and the jama'ah, and ally themselves with misguidance. Ally themselves to misguidance. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, from those who oppose the book and the sunnah, from the rest of the misguided sects. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends the explanation of that point. And just as a small point, which Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he brings in his notes, he gives another example of the people, those who fall into this point, and others from those who go against the sunnah and the jama'ah and ally themselves with misguidance. He said, Shaykh al-Albani said, where it says, and others, he says, like the muqallida, like the blind followers, those who make at taqleed blind following the religion which it is obligatory upon everyone to follow. After the 4th century from the Hijrah, and who turn away because of that from being guided by the light of the book and the sunnah. And they accuse, these muqallida, the blind followers, they accuse everyone who tries to free himself from rigid adherence to a madhab, and who tries instead to cling to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accuse them of whatever their desires suggest to them. And may Allah have mercy upon the Imam of the Sunnah, Imam al-Sunnah, meaning Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, when he said, "Deen al-Nabi Muhammadin akhbaru, ni'ma al-mutiyatu lil-fata atharu, la targhabanna anil hadithi wa alihi, far-ra'yu laylun wal-hadithu naharu, wa rubbama jahil al-fata athar al-huda, wa shamsu bazighatun, Laha Anwaru." He said, may Allah have mercy upon the Imam of the Sunnah, Imam Ahmad, when he said in this regard, something that can be roughly translated as, the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the narrations. What a fine riding camel for a youth are the reports. Do not turn aside from the hadith and its people, for ra'i, opinion, is night, and the hadith is day. And it may be that a youth is unaware of the traces of guidance, but the sun is emerging and radiating light. Then with regard to the last point in the book, then Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَنَحْنُ مِنْهُمْ بَرَاءٌ رَحْمَكَ اللَّهِ وَنَحْنُ مِنْهُمْ بَرَاءٌ وَهُمْ عِنْدَنَا ضُلَّالٌ وَأَرْدِيَاءُ وَبِاللَّهِ الْإِسْمَةُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ. He said, and we are free of them, and we hold them to be misguided and corrupt, and preservation and guidance to what is correct is granted by Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so we free and disassociate ourselves from them, and we are enemies to them for Allah's sake, and we have hatred for them because they are people of misguidance and falsehood. So what is obligatory is to boycott them and to hate them and to refute them and their falsehood. So we free ourselves from those who say that every sect, every one from the firq, we free ourselves from those who say every sect falls under the name of Islam, and we must overlook these matters and apply the principle of freedom of speech and the freedom of opinion. So all of the sects, they enter within Islam. In this saying, we free ourselves from this, from those who say this. The Shaykh said, and this position is false and futile, and is a danger for the Ummah. And freedom of speech and of opinion are restricted by the book and the sunnah, and that which the Salaf, the pious predecessors of this Ummah, were upon. and the opposing sects, all of them are in the fire. Sheikh said, the reality is not that saying that we just heard this, they all fall under the name of Islam and we have to overlook and the like. The Sheikh said, no. He said, the firq, the opposing sects, all of them are in the fire, except for the sect which is upon that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon. And then he said, so a person is liable to make a mistake, and preservation from error, al-ismah, preservation from error, and at tawfiq, grant of the successful attainment of correctness, and change of state, and ability, are all in the hand of Allah. So the person does not give himself a guarantee of salvation. Rather, he has hope in Allah, and he fears Him. So with this blessed treatise is completed. That which comprises tremendous sentences stating the creed and belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا بِهَا وَأَنْ يَجْزِلَ لِمُؤَلِّفِهَا جَزِيلَ الثَّوَابِ عَلَى مَا بَيَّنَ وَعَلَى مَا وَضَّحَ وَعَلَى مَا كَتَبَ وَعَلَى مَا نَصَحَ لِلْأُمَّةِ فجزاه الله خيرا وسائر أئمة المسلمين والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين آمين. He finished by making dua and saying, so we ask Allah to cause us to receive benefit through it and that He abundantly reward its author for that which he has explained, and for that which he has clarified, and for that which he wrote, and for his giving sincere advice to the Ummah. So may Allah reward him with good, and the rest of the Imams of the Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best, and may Allah extol, and send peace and security, and bless our Prophet Muhammad, and his true followers, and his companions, all of them. وَجَزَاللَّهُ الشَّيْخَ الْفَوْزَانِ حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى خَيْرًا لِشَرْحِهِ وَالشَّيْخَ ابْنَ أَبِي الْعِزِّ لِشَرْحِهِ وَالشَّيْخَ ابْنُ مَانِئٍ وَالشَّيْخَ ابْنُ بَازٍ وَالشَّيْخَ الْأَلْبَانِي رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. May Allah also reward Shaykh al-Fawzan for his explanation, and likewise may he reward Ibn Abil Izz for his explanation of the book, and Shaykh ibn Mani', and Shaykh al-Albani, and Shaykh al-Albani and Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahumullah, for their notes to the book, the benefit has been taken from. Walhamdulillah, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man tabi'ahu ila yawmiddin. Amen. Any points of clarification? Salaam wa rahmatullah. Naam. And a clarification from the brother here, that ayah that was quoted is not from Surah Ibrahim. Jazakallah khairan. Wajnubni. It's from Surah Ibrahim. Not from Surah An-Nisa. Al-ayah. يقول الآية واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام ربي إنهن أضلل كثيرا من الناس. As the brother pointed out, and they're getting confirmation, then they say this ayah, the reference that was given is Surah An-Nisa. Then the correct reference for that is Surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim. The ayah is from Surah Ibrahim. Ayah 35 and 36. Anyway, Naam. then the ayahs are indeed, JazakAllahu Khairan for the correction there, contrary to, if you can correct your version there, the ayahs are indeed from Surah Ibrahim, ayahs 35 and 36. Fourteenth Surah, Surah Ibrahim, ayahs 35-36. JazakAllahu Khairan.
How do I understand the people of Jabriya? And can you call them Jahmiya? The people of Jabriya, do they also deny the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
The reality is that with Al-Jahm, this evildoer Al-Jahm and his teacher Al-Ja'ad, they gathered a number of sayings of deviation. A number of the sayings of deviation that are present in the Ummah from then until now, a lot of them came from Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham and were taught to him, to his student Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. So the saying of the Jahmiyyah, the denial of the attributes, came from them. And likewise, the saying of Al-Jabr, that a person is compelled upon his deeds, came from him as well. That was another one of his deviations. It started with him, and then there became later on it grew into a whole sect, which you know, that became their basic saying, a person compelled upon his deeds. But it started with Al-Jahm. He learnt it from Al-Ja'ad. So they were, the Jahmiyyah are also Jabariyyah. They also hold that saying. As we had also with regard to Iman, they hold that Iman is just belief in the heart, attestation of the heart only, even if a person says kufr upon his tongue. Yeah, the saying of Jabr, this saying of Jabr, that a person is compelled to do his deeds. Yeah. This was saying of Al-Ja'ad and his student Al-Jahm. Mm. This was his saying. Yeah. Later on, some people, they took this and they made that the focus, the main point of their deen. They became known as the Jabariyyah.
But they had the same deviations, sayings, like all the what the Jahmiyyah had. Because the Jahmiyyah had also that they denied the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they said that Iman doesn't go up and down.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. With regard to point 221, and that he keeps us safe from the variant heretic ideas. Literally, al-ahwa. It could be translated also as, and that he keeps us safe from the variant heretic desires. Desires. And the opinions which cause separation. So point 221, it could be translated probably better that way. And that he keep us safe from the variant heretic ahwa desires. And the opinions which cause separations. Obviously the deviant sects are known as al-ahwa. Each of the deviant sects are called the ahwa. Meaning those deviant sects which are based upon just hawa, based upon desires. نعم. So the term al-ahwa is used as plural of hawa, the desires. Also is used as a term for the deviant sects, because that's what they're based upon. With regard to the ayah from Surah Al-Jathiya, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And the explanation, as we said, based as usual upon the tafsir of Tabari. Do you see the one who takes as an object of worship that which he desires? I mean, that which he chooses from his desires to worship, so he worships it. That false object of worship, he desires to worship it, so he worships it. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And Allah misguided him upon knowledge that he would not follow guidance. Somebody says, Jazakumullahu khairan. And likewise, Jazakumullahu khairan to the brothers in the Maktaba. Ameen. And wa jazakumullahu khairan for your attention and your attendance and for your taking notes. Those of you who took notes and answering the questions, may Allah reward you with good. Ameen. Just a point for the brothers that are here, if what is correct, that the sisters in particular excelled many of the brothers in this regard. We got to giving attention, answering questions, checking each other, being careful to take notes and study as they should be studying. So may Allah give the brothers the tawfiq to catch up. Some of the brothers likewise, of course, but may Allah give the rest of the brothers the tawfiq to catch up with that, inshallah. Amen. And there are. And for those who are present, and the brothers and sisters who are present, then there is a handout, inshallah, which is just a translation, which you can do. Still being corrections being made, that you can have, inshallah, al-aqidah tahawiyah, just the text of the points of al-aqidah tahawiyah. So the brother's handing that out right now. So, tafaddalu. Yep. 227. With regard to the quote from Imam Ahmad that Sheikh Al-Albani quoted, rahimahullah, that Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned that from those who contradict what's correct are the muqallida, the blind followers who insist upon blind following of a madhab. Then in that regard, he quoted the saying of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, which can be loosely translated as the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the narrations. What a fine riding camel for a youth are the athar, are the reports. Do not turn aside from the hadith and its people. For ra'i, for opinion is night and the hadith is day. And it may be that a youth is unaware of the traces of guidance, but the sun is emerging and radiating light. And with regard to the question which didn't come, then what's been asked before, what do we hope to be doing next, inshallah? Then we hope, inshallah, to be going through the explanation, Shaykh al-Fawzan's explanation, Hafidhullah, of Lum'atul Ittiqad. Sharh Lum'atul Ittiqad. The book Lum'atul Ittiqad, Al-Hadi ila Sabil al-Rashad, of Imam Abu Muhammad, Muwaffaquddin Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah. Ibn Qudama's book, rahimahullah, Lum'atul Ittiqad, with the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah. Then this book is not available at the moment in the Maktaba, but so for the next 2 weeks there will be no circle on Monday, inshallah. There will be no circle on this, the following Monday, or the one after. And then after that, we'll, inshallah, begin with the book whenever the books arrive, inshallah. a large number of these books arrive, inshallah, then we'll begin with that, inshallah. And there is some sort of a translation available. It's translated with the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawz, the same book, the same text, but with the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawz, with the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. That is available. So the text is there, and the explanation of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, the title of the translation is the explanation of sufficiency in creed by Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi. And that used to be, they used to have it, and I don't think they do anymore. But that's there if you can get hold of it, inshallah. And as for the title, as we'll see when we go into if we get into the book, inshallah, then the title Lum'atul Ittiqad, then Lum'ah is that which shines, or that which sparkles, or glistens, or the like. So if anyone can think of a suitable English translation for the title, then well and good, mashallah. I can't. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خيرا